Welcome to Promised Land at Home podcast, where we bring people into an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ and each other. Wherever life has you, we pray that today's sermon both challenges and encourages you. We're so glad you're listening today and hope you enjoy the message.
Today, I want to share with you one of our core values, which is standing on the Word of God and believing the Word of God as absolute truth. We believe it. We believe the Bible, the 66 books of the Bible are the Word of God. We believe that the Bible is eternal. We believe that the Bible is something we can base our life on, and that the truth of the Bible does not change when you change geography. You know, like if you're in Greece or you're in the United States, the Word of God is the same. Or if you live in the year 1800 or the year 2023 or the year whatever, it's the same. The Word of God is true and solid, and you can trust it. You can trust it. So today I want to speak about something that the Bible teaches us that is true no matter what generation you live in, what country you live in, and that is that we are image bearers. Just calling this message image bearers. Genesis, the first chapter, the 27th and 28th verse says, "So God created human beings in His own image. In the image of God, He created them," what?
Male and female.
Male and female, He created them. "Then God blessed them and said, 'Be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it, reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, and the animals that scurry along the ground.'" Let's talk about this just for a second. We are made in the image of God. Now, God made the planet. He made water. He made the stars. He made all the animals. And the Bible is clear about how all that happened. He spoke those things into existence. But then when it came time to create humanity, humans, He does something different. He actually forms us out of the dirt, but then He breathed His breath into us. And we have the breath of God in us. It was a beautiful thing. And we were not a detached human race away from Him, but instead we were made in His image. So when other animals, other parts of the earth interacted with us, they were interacting with the image of God. This is a massive part of Scripture that we stand on here at Promise and believe that the Word of God is. This is not just an allegory, a great story, a parable, but this is actually the way it happened. That God actually made us, He created us, and He created us with a divine design. That He created us male and female. And then in Genesis 2:24, the very next chapter says, "This explains why a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one." This is what we call marriage, a covenant for life, where you are monogamous with a male and a female that are together for life, united into one. And this last sentence tells us a lot. "Now the man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame." It's a huge sentence there. It's hard for us to wrap our head around the fact that they walked around without clothes on, because that's such a foreign concept to us now. Thank you for dressing in clothes and coming to church today. They would have been very awkward if you did not have clothes on. Just this is the way we live in the world post-sin. Post-sin, please put some clothes on. But before that, it's hard for us to understand that it wasn't a big deal. And they weren't just naked physically without clothes, but they were naked spiritually, emotionally, psychologically. In other words, there was complete transparency between man and wife. It wasn't just a physical clothing thing, but there was no secrets. There was no separate bank accounts, right? There was just total unity, total love and peace. And the real word, the word naked just means there was no barrier. There was no separation. There was just complete unity between man and wife. It's a beautiful thing. Since sin has entered into the world, we see things have happened and this has begun to fall apart. But the main idea that I want us to grab a hold of here in the very beginning of the Bible is that we are God's image bearers on earth. That human beings are God's image bearers on earth. We represent God. We represent God as human. It's our identity. It's our role. The Bible says right there that we're supposed to steward over the planet, over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the animals that scurry along the ground. And it was God's design that he created male and female on purpose. Male and female was created on purpose. God's design was for that male and female were to come together and be his image. Both have equal value. Male and female have equal value, yet God created male and female with distinct differences. There has been a massive feminist movement over the last few decades to rightfully bring females into equality with men. They should be. They are. It's God's design for man and woman to be equal, but it was not God's design for them to be the same. It's supposed to be different, but equal. It's God's design. That's the way he created us. And I think it's beautiful that he created us to reproduce with each other. There's some organisms in the world that reproduce asexually. That's not the way it is with humanity. You have to have a man and a woman coming together. Not going to go into the details, but they come together. In 1891, scientists discovered that a mother's body and a father's body genetically pass information to their offspring to determine the baby's gender. Females have two X chromosomes. A male has one X and one Y chromosome. And right at that conception period, all people in the womb get one X chromosome from their mom, and then their dad either passes an X or a Y chromosome. So if they get an X from their mom and they get an X from the dad, they're a girl. But if they get that X from their mom and they get a Y from their dad, they are a boy. Welcome to seventh grade biology class. It's really bizarre that I would need to talk about stuff at such a basic level. But our world is going crazy. And you just need to be anchored in what the Bible says. And you need to know, some of y'all believe this already, but you need to know why you believe it. The reason we believe it is because God designed it that way. And the uniqueness of God's design for male and female did not just end at the microscopic level, but God's design for woman, and Erica edited this part of my sermon. She felt I went too far on Mother's Day, but a woman has certain reproductive organs. A man has certain reproductive organs that are different and distinct. They are designed by God in that way. It's on purpose. It's on purpose. Why are you talking about this in church? Because I want you to understand the human anatomy is not some evolutionary accident. The design of God is on purpose. And we don't have the right to manipulate what God has set on purpose. It's God's design. It's being attacked by thousands and thousands of messages that you're going to see online, that your kids are going to see online this week, that your grandkids are going to see online. And it's over and over and over. When I was a kid, the big message that I remember Congress was thinking about passing laws against music with profanity in it or violent messages that you would see on television, and statistics show that kids will see over 16,000 murders by the time they're 21 on television, movies, online. But now we're inundated with all these images and messages and propaganda tearing apart God's plan for sexuality and for gender. And it's not just a Republican thing or a Democratic thing or an American way, but it's actually God's design that is absolute and eternal. He did it on purpose, and it's His plan. And the devil hates God's plan. The devil hates the idea that there would be image bearers of God on the planet. And so the devil is trying to do everything he can to stop you from being an image bearer of God. He hates it. And so he has thrown so many different things in order to keep us from being male and female. And he's trying to keep us from procreating and stewarding over the earth, because that is God's image. And we are insulting God and not following God's plan when we step out of that. And that's why we believe that abortion is wrong at Promised Land, because that is taking away what God has designed for us to do. The depravity of humanity didn't begin 5 years ago or 10 years. You know, like, it is accelerated, is exaggerated, is like massively changed in front of our eyes. Like, every time we turn around, it's like, I cannot believe I'm actually hearing this from an adult, right? I cannot believe that that person is saying that. I cannot believe that it's coming from universities, people that are teaching, that are supposed to be the smartest, are saying something that is so completely against evidence and facts and science. But it didn't start in the 2000s. It actually started in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis. Genesis 6 and 5, the Lord observed the extent of human wickedness on the earth, and he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. So the Lord was sorry that he ever made them and put them on the earth. It broke his heart. It breaks the Lord's heart when we believe the lie of the enemy. Verse 7, the Lord said, I will wipe this human race I've created from the face of the earth. Yes, and I will destroy every living thing, all the people, the large animals, the small animals that scurry along the ground, and even the birds of the sky. I'm sorry I ever made them. But Noah found favor with the Lord. Noah found favor with the Lord. He was an image bearer. Noah was an image bearer. He was a righteous man. A similar event happens in the 19th chapter of Genesis. There was a town called Sodom. There was a town called Gomorrah, and they had fallen away. Complete depravity. Lot lived there. Abraham was coming to save the day. And God was having this same conversation with Abraham. I'm going to destroy them. And Abraham has this unique conversation with God. And they talk about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah based on the complete depravity. And the things that were happening in Sodom and Gomorrah are so detestable and disgusting. It is literally hard to read them in the Bible. So I just lay that out there because I want you to understand that this is not something that's new. That human beings have been running away from God and not being image bearers of God for a long, 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 long time. Ever since Adam and Eve fell, humanity has had that perspective. But God always provides a way out. God always provides a way out. I want you to make sure you know that God always provides a way out. Maybe you're in a completely different situation right now that has nothing to do with your sexuality, nothing to do with your gender, anything like that, and you're just facing an impossible situation. You need to hold on to the truth that God will always provide a way out for His image bearers. He loves you. He's got a plan for you. He's a redeemer. He's a restorer. He's a healer. He resets us and repositions us. So in Noah's case, he said, build an ark. There's going to be a flood. This is your way out. With Lot and his family, God sent Abraham there to bring them out of the city. God always provides a way out. You can trust God. He's the creator. He's got everything figured out. You can trust him. So Noah builds the ark. They go into it. I'm not going to the whole story today, but at the end of the flood, the waters recede, and then Noah takes his family out, and they've sacrificed to God, and it's a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. This is what it says in Genesis 8:21, and the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Look at this right here. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent towards evil from childhood. This is a really interesting perspective. This is God saying this, so he obviously knows what he's talking about. And I love the fact that he says, I'll never again curse the ground, even though everything they think or imagine is bent towards evil. Everybody is bent towards evil. You're not just passed down an X and a Y or an X and an X chromosome. You're also passed down a genetic perspective that you're sinful and that you're going to be, and you say evil. Okay, I'm not evil. I'm not like, killing people or robbing banks or, I'm not like casting spells on people or anything like that. Really, what he's saying here is that everyone here is self-centered, promoting self, self-preservation, prideful, and that is in our nature now as a sinful human race, that we're bent towards rejecting God. We're bent towards something that is very self-centered. I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night. This is the setting us up for the seasonal living that we still live to this day. As long as the earth remains, we'll live in seasons, planting, harvest, cold, heat, winter, summer, winter, day and night. The next chapter, Genesis 9 and 12, then God said, I'm giving you a sign of my covenant with you and all living creatures for all generations to come. I have placed my rainbow in the clouds, and it's the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. Let's leave that up on the screen just for a second. And I want us to make sure we grasp the fullness of what this text is saying. I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and all living creatures for all generations to come. That means us. That means our grandparents' generation. That means our kids, our grandkids. Any generation to come can receive the promise of God. And this rainbow is the image, it is the image bearer of God's covenant with us. So, he's placed the rainbow in the clouds. And there's something about seeing a rainbow in nature that's just amazing, right? I mean, you can have seen a rainbow your entire life, but you see one this afternoon, you're like, there, look, there's a rainbow, right? And it's just like a faded half rainbow, but there's something so magical about it, right? There's something so beautiful. There's been a few rainbows in my life that I'll never forget. There was one in the year 2000. Eric and I were living in New Mexico, and I was working in a restaurant, and I looked out. I was the host. I was like seating people with the menus and all that stuff. And I remember the rain had just passed, and looking out across the sage, and there was a big mountain out there, and there was this rainbow that came down, and it was so vivid. It was so massive, and I was just in awe of this rainbow. I remember as a kid, we were always told that there was gold, a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. And so I remember like, let's go find it, And you would go, and the rainbow just keeps going further and further away. It's incredible. This part of nature that we have that God designed on purpose. This is what God's saying, I want when the light comes through that prism of a droplet of water for the light to be refracted in such a way that anybody looking in that direction will see a covenant that I have with them that they will never forget. That there will be a sign, there will be an image bearer of my covenant. And so I want to ask you a rhetorical question. You don't have to say anything. Just think through this. But what do you think of when you see a rainbow? And my proposition to you today is every time you see a rainbow, whether it's in nature or it's online or it's on a t-shirt or anywhere else, I want you to think of Jesus, who is the ultimate fulfillment of the rainbow. Jesus is the reason that everybody in here, everybody watching online today, is able to have the possibility to be an image bearer again. The only way that you and I, that are bent towards evil, that think about, what was that one scripture at the beginning says, the extent of human wickedness on the earth, he saw that everything they thought or imagined was consistently and totally evil. Even though that's us, how could someone that's like that, how could someone that's so far from God become an image bearer? Jesus. That's why. Jesus is the ultimate fulfillment of the rainbow, because it is because of Jesus we are able to now be an image bearer of God ourselves on this earth. The rainbow is this beautiful display of light coming through a droplet of water and coming out a different way. That's exactly what's happening because of Jesus, that God is coming through us, and on the other side of us, the world might see the image of God. It is not because you have said, man, I'm going to make my life the perfect water droplet, and I'm going to read more books, and I'm going to do less bad things, and we can never make ourselves good enough to be the image of God. Our righteousness and our sanctification, the way that we could be holy and have attributes of God and be the image of God on this planet, is because of the work of Jesus Christ. And so I want to encourage, I just wanted to bring this message to you in this particular week, because I have a feeling you're going to see a lot more rainbows this coming month. And I want you just to say, Jesus, have your way. Jesus, have your way. Jesus, you changed my life. You can change their life. I don't have to preach to them. I don't have to force them. I don't have to be mean. Lord, I want to be your image bearer. Lord, I want to be the person that is known to look like Jesus. That's more important than boycotting a store or beer. I didn't say that. Oh, man, if you're online, you miss a good one right there. To reflect, for you to be the image bearer of God and reflect Jesus here, that's the most potent, the most powerful, the most life-changing thing that you can do. I want to reflect God. I want to reflect the power of Jesus. I want, when people see me, I want them to see life change. Not my works, not to build my name, not to have more authority or power or clout or whatever, but instead, I just want God to be reflected, because God is the one who makes all the difference. Would you stand to your feet? Let's pray right now. Some of you may have ideas in your head of people in your life that are far from God. And they're believing in things that are not true. And it's been heavy on your heart because you want so badly for them to see the truth. And you've been wrestling with, how do I approach them? How do I talk to them? And I hope you hear the word of God today. That even when human beings are so far from God, even when they believe in something that's so opposed to what God originally created, and frankly, I'm talking to people at Promised Land today that you yourselves have wrestled with some of the things I've talked about today. This is not just a cousin or an uncle or a friend or somebody else, but you yourselves have wrestled with what I'm talking about today. The answer is the same. No matter if it's you or a friend or whatever, the answer is Jesus. So why don't we go to Him right now and just invite Him, welcome Him in. Jesus, I want to be an image bearer. I want to reflect Your beauty. Lord, I want to reflect Your truth in love. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If there's a situation that seems impossible, God, I believe You can make a way. You can make a way where there seems to be no way. You can open up a door and a wall. You can open up a gate where there is no gate. You can provide an ark for someone. You can give plans and details. You've done it all throughout time, and I'm believing in 2023, You can do it for people right now. In Jesus' name, make a way, Father. Make a way where there seems to be no way. Change hearts, change minds, change desires. Supernaturally, God, I pray, make a way where there seems to be no way. And the hearts and minds of men and women and kids, everybody we come in contact with, Lord, let them see You, not us. Let them see Your glory. Let them see Your beauty. Let them see just a beautiful display bursting forth from my life and our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, somebody say amen.
Thank you for joining us today. Don't forget, we want to connect with you. You can find us on Facebook and YouTube by searching Promised Land San Marcos, on Instagram at PSM Church, or on our website, psmchurch.com. Thanks again for listening to the Promised Land at Home podcast.